I had a really, really crunchy apple and then some chips before we started recording, so I wouldn't have any loud snacks.
Like an apple ass or horse ass snack.
I had delicious Honeycrisp.
I love Honeycrisps. They're
I had a
so
Granny
good.
Smith today. Very crunchy.
Oh, so good.
I shoveled it down in about 2 minutes before I was expecting a call from my boss.
Hell yeah.
Because I didn't want it to get brown afterwards and I'd already cut
Yeah, fair.
Okay,
Granny Smiths are the best apples to shovel.
what was happening
Yeah.
with the horse in Zelda?
Oh, you can to get a horse, you have to like sneak up on it and then like tame it. And then to become its friend, you have to like pat it and also give it apples. And so I've been giving horses apples a lot in Zelda. That's it.
What do you call someone who's like a horse wrangler?
A
What do you
cowboy?
call No. No, there's like a term.
A ranch
Oh no,
hand?
you break a horse, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And you destroy it at the end of its life.
Yeah.
Wow, we hate horses.
Oh my God.
They've been talking about breaking horses a lot in my book, which I have not read at all during this quarantine. I'm like really excited about quarantine. I'm gonna finish my book. I haven't read any.
What book are you reading that talks about horses?
I'm still reading The True History of the Kelly Gang.
Oh my God.
My autobiography.
So yeah, we are recording this from three separate locations.
We are.
In isolation.
We have video chat open.
Maddie's sister is Skyping my sister as we speak in a different room. My entire family is living in our house right now. That's my update. Isolated.
I'm living by myself in my apartment by myself. I don't see
That's our
anyone.
poll question this week. Which is worse, being alone alone or being alone with your entire family?
Or even worse, my
Oh
parents
yeah.
were in Mexico up until 11 days ago. And then when they came home, I have not been outside since. So today's Monday. It's been 11 days. On Thursday, I get to go outside again, and I'm so happy. I'm so excited. And it's going to be pouring
You
rain,
deserve
maybe even
it.
snowing.
Is it supposed to snow?
It might snow this week, which is
I
fucked.
saw it was snowing
Oh
in
my God.
Europe.
Sick. When it
Yeah.
rains. Well, no.
Okay.
No, not that. When it snows.
When it snows, it snows.
You're listening to Two Additional Bullen Girls, the show where we rewatch The Tudors in 2020. I'm Ellen.
We don't rewatch it. We've never seen it.
Well,
We've
we're
never seen
watching
it
it.
before. We're watching The Tudors
We,
in
as a
2020.
society, are rewatching The Tudors. Do you want me to do it again?
True. No, this is fine.
Maybe. No.
Okay,
It's
do it again,
fine.
do it again.
You're listening to Two Additional Bullen Girls, the show where we watch The Tudors in 2020. I'm Ellen.
I'm Grania. And this episode is exceptionally on the nose for our times.
It's insanely. I can't believe it. I came on this call a little bit late. What did you tell Maddie about?
I just told them that the entire episode's about the plague, which is not true. It's about the sweating sickness, not the plague. But it's essentially the same thing. It's a plague that goes across England and just is killing a bunch of people and forcing everyone into quarantine.
The episode
So.
is called Message to the Emperor, which is insane because that's not what it's about.
No, there's like one. Yeah, it's not like. It should be called Sweat Hot Anglican Summer.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I also
All
had
right, I mean that's not a joke that's going to be funny for the audience because that's the title of this podcast episode.
Oh, there you go. Okay, well, there you go.
What was your other one, Grania?
COVID, but spelt with two extra I's in the middle. But I didn't want to talk about COVID because
Fuck.
it's serious and really scary and really, really horrible. and ruining a lot of lives. So,
but VIII is very, very funny.
That's the beauty of Henry VIII, is like just the number 8 makes everything funny now. So yeah, we open up.
I mean, our audience will know which one we went with.
They sure will, and the audience will hopefully just sympathize. It was tragic because The Tudors to me is pure escapism, and you couldn't escape from. Ellen just disappeared.
I'm still there
on that. Okay, sorry. You can't escape from the plague whenever the episode is the plague.
Well, I've been like trying to find more podcasts to listen to when I'm out on my my daily walks that aren't talking about being sick, and literally all the podcasts are talking about it, but the only one that's talking about it and is still funny is Who Weekly.
Yeah.
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 So,
We've got a really good unexpected cameo in this episode.
Yeah. I think we're talking about the same person.
I hope we're talking about the same person.
I'm very nervous.
No, it's a good one, like a genuinely happy and one where you go, oh, that's exciting, not like some weird Grania and Ellen shit where it's like, oh, this disgusting man who was in like one scene of The Wind That Shakes the Barley. Anyway.
Sorry, the reason Ellen watched 11/22/63 in its entirety.
Ellen watched the show where James Franco goes back in time to not kill JFK.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
No, I was gonna say my favorite fun fact about the movie The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
That's an insane sentence, but go ahead. Okay,
this is good. My favorite fun fact about the movie The Wind That Shakes the Barley is that one of the people who's in it is Mary Murphy, the judge from So You Think You Can Dance. She is in this serious movie about Ireland with Cillian Murphy.
Yeah. It's a very good movie. I highly recommend it. If you're bored at home and you want to think about Cillian Murphy and the Irish Free State, just absolutely watch The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
It's very good, and Mary Murphy's in it.
And Mary Murphy's in it. So is George Boleyn.
Is he?
Anne's brother in The Tudors is in it. I'm pretty sure he plays the other brother, the Cillian Murphy's brother. Fun fact. Speaking of people who aren't Irish, but who are famous, Chris Martin, first scene of this episode, he dies. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into the plot summary.
The man who isn't Chris Martin, but who we think looks at Chris Martin, his name is Compton.
William, yeah.
In the show, William Compton, first scene, he's dead.
He's dead.
And
you know what? That solves our issue of not knowing what his name is. We're no longer
going to be confusing everyone with the words Chris Martin.
I keep referring to him as Coldplay because that's what Branton calls Chris Martin because he can't remember his name.
Dakota Johnson's boyfriend, Coldplay.
Dakota Johnson's dating Chris Martin.
It's tragic.
I don't get it.
Well, that's how all my Gwen. Obviously, because this is an episode about the sweating sickness, I thought a lot about Gwyneth Paltrow. And that's part of the reason I was thinking about her, because of Coldplay.
Yes, exactly. And you thought, what is Goop doing to help stop COVID?
Yes.
Apparently the answer is nothing.
Well, they're spreading good information. I read the article that Goop had. They had a Q&A about COVID, and they're spreading a lot of information that is accurate and good and about social distancing and lots of meals that you can make and keep in your freezer and things to do when you're self-quarantining at home and all this type of stuff. And I was like, actually, Goop, I'm really impressed. So
You know what I'm going to say? Yeah, we're shocked and impressed, and we're happy for Gwyneth.
Happy for Gwyneth. Gwyneth is like understands that she is like a parody of herself. But there's also like at the bottom of all Goop articles, there's like a disclaimer being like, this should not be used as actual medical advice. If you're looking for medical advice, consult a medical professional. The thoughts and feelings of people interviewed in this article do not reflect those of Goop, blah, 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 blah. So I think they have that at the bottom of every article.
They probably have to. What else happens in this episode? The plague happens. There's a doctor called Lineker, which reminded me of Gary Lineker, who we love.
Oh, we love.
a rare English soccer player who we love.
We meet the new French ambassador.
Yeah, we meet the new French ambassador. the Pope shows up. Finally, we meet the Pope.
We meet the Pope.
And he says no about the divorce, which mm-hmm. we knew was coming, obviously.
Well, to be clear, the Pope doesn't show up. He's not in England. The Pope is still in Italy. Henry sends and people to speak to him.
Yeah. Yeah. The Pope doesn't just, like, come to England during the plague.
I mean, everyone's in social isolation, so there's no traveling.
Especially in Italy.
Yeah.
You know what? Everything seemed fine and dandy in Italy this time, and I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, that's good. Italy's doing,
we love
Italy's
to see doing it.
Well in the fictional universe of the fictional universe. I guess, you know what? It's a fictional universe. This isn't historical.
It's historical fiction.
It is historical. It sure is.
My dad was like talking about the Wolf Hall series the other day, and he was trying to come up with the word for historical fiction. He's like, it's like history, but it's like a fake story, but about real people. I'm like, historical fiction? He's like, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. My mom loves the Wolf Hall series. She thinks we should read it instead of watching The Tudors, and I'm like, yeah, probably.
Okay, other things that happened in this episode? Yeah, I don't think... Not much.
Woolsey looks like he's about to die, but then he doesn't.
He's, like, lying on the ground covered in orange peels, which is, like, a big flu move.
Yeah, he's like...
You know what? Honestly, this week, I'm expecting January Jones to show up on her Instagram story covered in orange peels lying on the ground.
With a Coors Light.
Drinking a Coors Light through a straw.
Being Maddie and Ellen's friend just means, like, you don't follow, like, three celebrities that they do follow on Instagram, and your entire life is catching up on what they mean when they talk about these celebrities.
Here's the thing that's crazy.
That's funny, because being Grania Ellen's friend
no.
Following it's different. Everyone it's different. They follow and absolutely hating everything they send to me.
Oh my God, Maddie, you lost your mind this morning.
We're not getting into that. Okay.
We are.
No.
This is the there content that people don't pay for.
There was a meme about which Cole brother was hotter. And it seemed, or no, maybe it was just which one they liked more, but it said Joe, which doesn't make sense because Finn Cole's better looking.
Grania's watching Peaky Blinders now, so she has opinions.
Oh yeah, I'm watching Peaky Blinders, so now I have opinions on the Cole brothers. Finn's better looking. That's it.
Grania's saying that opinions. Like she didn't have opinions on the Cole brothers before.
You were neutral on the Cole brothers.
Beforehand, I was like, Finn's better looking, but I don't know anything with him in it. And
but I don't know.
You know what? It's like a carbon offset. When you have to watch The Tudors, you have to offset it with something good.
Sam Neill's also in Peaky Blinders.
All right.
Sam Neill is the bad guy in Peaky Blinders. He has a really funny Belfast accent. It's like a good. It's a good accent, but it's like so disgusting.
We had to offset it with something good. I watched frickin' 11-22-63. Like, I told people at work today, I'm like, I scream laughed during every episode of that show, and not because it's funny, but just because it's crazy.
Now you have to watch two good shows.
Well, I'm going to catch up on Killing Eve.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Finally.
And then I'm going to read my book.
Something I've only been telling you to do for over a year at this point.
Well, I'll get there when I get there. No, well, I mean, the destination, not the journey.
I can't judge Ellen on this because I watched a couple episodes of Peaky Blinders like 2 years ago, and I was like, Ellen, you'd like this, watch it. And then she finished the entire thing, and I didn't watch it for 2 years. So I started again last week with my parents because we have
that's
nothing
like
else to do.
Us and the Durrells.
Oh, God.
You're like, Ellen, I heard about this fun show, and I'm like, and then I watched all four seasons in 1 week, and Grania's seen the pilot.
Yep. It was a good. It was a good pilot. My coworker recommended it to me, and she was like, "I think you'd find this fun." And I was like, "Great!" And there's a cute guy in it. And then she was like, "Is there? I don't think any of them are cute." And I was like, oh. "She did not understand, but that's okay. She's older. Anyway,
she's older and has taste.
She's older and has or, taste.
Wait, is she the one who
has
loves
not
cats?
Seen Emma?
No, she's not. Though I also work with someone who loves like cats. The play. The musical, and no, it's different person. Oh. Different person. No, that the woman who loves cats loves especially the white cat, which I think is such a fun little tidbit.
Is that the Taylor Swift cat?
No, it's the main cat. What? Victoria.
Victoria's a white cat?
The main cat's not even white. Oh, yeah, she is. She is. She's just gray because the lighting's bad in the movie.
Yeah.
I know. There's one cat that looks like Jonathan Taves.
I love him. What's his name?
I love him. Jonathan Taves. He's not in anything else. He's just Jonathan Taves.
He's in the NHL. He's a
musical actor. He's in the NHL, and they're paused right now, so he has more time to work on his acting
paused.
Career.
They're paused.
P-A-W-S-E-D.
P-A-W-S. Fuck.
Okay,
Jonathan Taves is a furry.
So, Quinn Hughes is going to play Skimbleshanks the Railway Cat.
Stop. That video? Okay, this is so off topic. I'm not even going
to... Sorry, we're talking about Jonathan Taves starring in the movie Cats.
Quinn Hughes and his brother Jack trying to, like, thank Bauer for doing a good job to help, like, medical workers. It's, like, gun to their heads. Hi, I'm Quinn Hughes. I am so proud to be a Bauer athlete. Anyway, very funny.
As I said in a text back when I saw it, Quinn Hughes couldn't possibly look like someone who doesn't know how to read more. And then Jack Hughes starts speaking and blows him out of the water.
Those boys should be on TikTok. They would just...
Oh my
Jack
God.
Jack Hughes would be such a big TikTok star.
I sent, that was another fun thing I did during quarantine. I've been on Twitter a lot because I haven't been doing anything. And I sent you that video of the Canucks all thanking the hospital workers. But I meant to screenshot Chris Tanev and his pug. But who did I screenshot instead because I was a bit slow?
Troy Stetcher.
Troy Stetcher.
Who I love. We love Troy Stetcher. But yeah.
In all honesty, should be irrelevant to Ellen.
Yeah. Speaking of hockey players that are relevant to Ellen, Eddie Lack retired from professional hockey today.
I saw because I'm on Twitter so much.
Did you watch all four parts of his retirement video?
No, I saw the drawing someone did.
I haven't seen them yet, but my dad didn't see a drawing someone did over lunch.
What?
My dad explained what happens in the video to me over lunch.
Good.
Good. Yeah. Good.
I'm happy that if I can't be there, someone else is explaining things that you could just watch to you.
Yeah.
Which is what this podcast is. You could just watch this.
You could just watch it, but you prefer
you shouldn't.
Prefer to have you us shouldn't. Just explain it to you.
The this one is at least...
That Maddie, I'm like, have you ever seen blah, blah, blah? And Maddie's like, no. And he'll either say, I read the Wikipedia page or you told me the entire plot. Is just like absolutely iconic.
I like it when Ellen watches bad movies starring a boy we find cute and I never want to see them. So I just let her tell me everything that's interesting about them.
Marrowbone.
Marrowbone.
But it's like, instead of like the relevant parts of the movie, it's like, let me tell you all the batshit things that happened in this movie that you're going to find insane.
She's a librarian.
I'm like, okay, and then they meet up and she is a librarian and he's wearing... Oh. Like, and then what happened
he's
next?
He's got a set of keys on him.
I don't know, the keys were so big.
I really love it because it's a good insight for how Ellen experiences movies in her own mind. And what's important in a movie to Ellen.
And it makes sense when you see her notes from when she watches The Tudors. You're like, ah, yeah. She missed things whenever really that man died, but she wrote down something about that man's rough. Sorry.
It's okay. It's true. I'm like watching movies and they're like, what happened next? I'm like, they had bangs in the next scene.
So I guess they might have gotten a haircut in between. I don't know.
Fuck.
Okay, back to the Tudors. Should I do so a Henry, quick once over Henry, the plot in order?
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Jump
do
all
it.
Over the place. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Martin. Chris Martin dies. It is revealed that he had the sweating sickness. They like start to panic. Everyone's freaking out. His wife comes in and like rubs her open mouth and her face all over his corpse. They're like,
I forgot about that.
They're like, the boys are talking. So King,
that's me at the grocery store.
You at the grocery store on Thursday when you're freed. Everyone's so nervous about the sweating sickness, and then King Henry and the boys, the remaining boys. So that's Charles Brandon and someone else. I don't know who the other man is.
I think his name is, like, it's, like, Alexander. It begins with an A. I think it's Alexander.
He, like, takes them to his, like, medicine cabinet, and he's like, look at all these tonics I have. Drink this, these herbs, and it will make
you feel sick. Popping pillies.
Yeah. They, like, make you feel sick, but in a different way. And he's like, ugh. And so, like, his friend's basically going to shit his pants, and he's, like, standing there. Then...
And Henry Cavill, the anti-vaxxer, is like, I don't know about this.
He's like, no, he's like, what are your sources? And that's when I wrote down my first King Henry is Gwyneth Paltrow of his time, goop who.
Oh my God.
One, knows Chris Martin. Two, goop.
Then they meet up with the new French ambassador. And I said, imagine kissing someone's hand during a pandemic. Absolutely insane. There's a very cute dog, a little fluffy greyhound. And then it's like revealed to them that there's like a huge breakout of the sweating sickness in town. And Henry immediately abandons Anne. He is like,
you know what?
Yeah.
Like any good leader of England.
He's like, bye. Then they start talking about people catching it through rumors just by talking about it.
Which yeah, if you think about the sweating sickness too long, you'll get it. You'll start sweating, and then you have
manifesting.
It.
Manifesting.
The best
Literally, way to- it's like you get nervous, and then you sweat, and then you have the sweating sickness. They said it's truly emotional sweating sickness.
They said the best way to keep it off of you is to naturally sweat. Then there's a full nipple on CBC Gym.
Oh.
Yeah, because Henry Cavill's like, I know how to work up a sweat right before I go to bed.
Yeah, and he sleeps with a woman who isn't his wife.
Oh.
Anyway, so everyone's like in their separate castles. Anne is sent away. Catherine is sent to be with Mary, and King Henry goes to some secluded castle that I did not identify, but I thought Grania might know.
I have no idea. I know he left. I have no idea where he went.
In the meantime, Henry sends two of his lawyers to Italy to meet with the Pope and to bring him all these arguments about why he should allow the divorce. They go there. The Pope's like, I cannot decide this in one day, but I'm going to think it over, but I can't decide it in one day. And then do we want to talk about the actor who plays the Pope now, or do we want to talk about that later?
What else happens in this episode?
Well, Henry's like really keeping people away, which is insane because they didn't know what germs were. So I don't think they understood you'd pass it from person to person. But anyway, everyone's dying. It's really bad in the city. All the people look like Sims. They show these like big old wide shots of the city and everyone's walking like a Sim. And then Anne almost dies. She doesn't. What's his name? Colonel Wolseley almost dies. He doesn't. Oh, there's a scene where Henry's, like, looking into a glass and, like, almost becomes this, like, plague doctor werewolf thing.
Yeah, he hallucinates this face once whenever he hallucinates it where he's sleeping beside Anne and he's, like, he then hallucinates her, it, like, this is all in his head. He hallucinates that she's dead and it's her corpse and then he stands up and there's this, like, deathly figure with them with like a really weird face and then he hallucinates himself becoming that figure in a mirror later and it's like very scary. I have a screenshot of it because I wanted it.
that's the end of my notes, but what happens is that Anne is cured and they meet again and they embrace and the episode ends.
Yes, they were like, we are just getting over a very bad plague. Let's stick our tongues down each other's throats.
Yeah.
And then Thomas Tallis, Chris Martin's ex-lover, looks at his grave and decides to write Fix You.
He writes Greensleeves.
He writes Greensleeves. Sorry. Pardon me.
He writes the scientist.
The Fix You of its time. He writes the scientist.
Which one's the scientist?
It's the one that says, take me back to the start. I know we've discussed this on this podcast before.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
Okay, That's the episode. Like,
yeah, that is the
happens.
Episode. Yeah.
Okay,
nothing
so
happens except
back
the plague.
To the Pope. Who's the Pope?
The Pope is two iconic, two undeniably likable characters from two TV shows that everyone's seen. One of them is Game of Thrones, and one of them is Derry Girls. It is Barristan Selmy and Granda from Derry Girls.
Here's the other thing he was in, though.
Granda Joe.
I went on his IMDb page. Guess the other thing that he is in.
Titanic 2012.
Yes, I didn't know that.
I was joking.
I didn't know that because whenever we Googled it the first time, the first episode of this podcast, I was like, huh, Barristan and Selmy.
Yeah.
Anyway, love him.
Can't wait for the Patreon episode where we watch Titanic 2012.
No one is going to pay for us to watch Titanic 2012.
Well, we're talking Kevin about the same thing, right? It's a Titanic miniseries that came out in 2012. Yes? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like set in 2012, which would be so funny.
A man who was on. I'm looking for my phone. I don't know where I put it.
Sorry, I probably shouldn't type while I'm recording. Hey,
so anyway, it has a guy who's on Gossip Girl in it. But that's it. Yeah. Anyway, that guy was in Titanic 2012. Like absolute legend.
That is amazing. Wow. Yeah, he's great. I'm really happy that the Pope is someone I can respect. In this fictional version. So the one of my favorite moments, I'm just looking at my notes. We have zero organization ever. Whenever they come back to the city and, oh my God. Sorry. I just looked at the cast of Titanic 2012. Okay. I'm going to put my phone away. when they come back to the city and like realize that the plague is like, out, like, just going crazy in the city. Someone's like, what's that smell? And, Henry yells, vinegar, vinegar, Your Excellence. And it's just like,
yeah,
it's just really funny. Like, I guess vinegar is like a thing that helps with like dead bodies or something. I don't know.
But, I don't know. They never explain it. It's like, it's vinegar. And he's like, we got to get out of here. And I'm like,
holy shit, they've got vinegar. We got to go. They never explain.
Old chem lab where we were dissolving gold with cyanide, and our safety lesson was, if you smell almonds, it's too late.
Yeah. My entire building has smelled like burnt toast the past few days, and I just think it like smells like bread and like stuff like that, but I'm like, oh my God, is this the smell of like cooking, or am I having like a stroke?
Well, if you can smell it, it means you don't have coronavirus. Stroke. Because if you have coronavirus, apparently most people lose their sense of smell.
True.
Mm-hmm. So keep smelling that toast, Ellen.
Yeah.
Have that massive stroke.
Fuck. I did like whenever after the doctor, Dr. Lineker, who's a real person, by the way, and he's like, started a bunch of like medical colleges in like Oxford and Cambridge, and he's like an absolute like legend medically.
Absolute legend.
I couldn't find any connection between him and Gary Lineker, and their names are spelled differently, but I do have this like hope that they are actually related because there's a lot of time for their names to have changed spelling, you know?
Yeah.
Should we explain to people that we're obsessed with the song Three Lions?
Yeah, sorry. So I don't like England or its soccer team, to be clear. But there is a song that you hopefully have heard. If you haven't heard it and you are someone who listens to this podcast, like, very wild to me. But it's called Three Lions, and it's the It's Coming Home song written for the English soccer team. And it's so fun. It's, as they say, an iconic banger. And
it really gets
us
going.
There's a line in it that references someone named Moore and someone named Lineker. So there's two Tudor connections right there. That tackled by Moore and when Lineker scored. And it's just a really good song. If you ever want to feel good about English soccer,
if you want to just go absolutely wild when you're drunk, oh my God. Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I was in England during the last World Cup when England didn't... Well, I mean, they still fucking lost, obviously. But they, like, didn't do as badly as they could have. And the entire country was going absolutely insane because of it. And everywhere you went, that song was playing, including like just my hotel room, because my brother would come in playing it on repeat because even he thought it was good because it's a good song. It's coming home.
I don't give a shit about soccer and especially English soccer. But if that song was ever on at karaoke, we would lose our collective minds. Absolutely. Just fucking lose it.
The other good thing the English soccer team does is the Dele Alli challenge, and Ellen can't do it, which is really funny. It's whenever you like loop your hand and finger. Hey, she did it! Kind of.
I can't get my hand to do that.
Granny, do it again. I want to take a screenshot.
Yeah. If like, you,
Ellen, you're better at it now, but it still looks very difficult for you.
Ellen always ends up like poking herself in the eye. But no, I liked when the man, Dr. Lineker, was telling him, like, if you think too hard about it, it makes you sick. And it reminded me of, like, people, like, and, like, I do believe that, like, staying positive right now is, like, important, and, like, having a good attitude and, like, you know, keeping yourself sane is important right now. But, like, it reminded me of people who are just, like, don't worry about it. Just, like, relax and, like, have a, you know, this is actually a time where you can be creative and, like, this is a good thing on Instagram and stuff. And I'm just like, oh, my God, there is a pandemic.
Can I say my third good thing about English soccer?
Is it Jordan Henderson? Because he's kind of cute.
No, it's that kid who did the rap with Dave at Glastonbury.
Thiago Silva isn't English. He's not English.
It's a good thing about English soccer Silva. That happened in England.
True. Dave, the rapper, at Glastonbury, I think last year or the year before. I think last year.
It was last year.
He has a song called Thiago Silva. Yeah, he has a song called Thiago Silva. He said, okay, someone come up on stage and sing it with me. There was this like 15-year-old kid who had a Thiago Silva, I think Barcelona jersey. I'm not positive. And he was like, you better know all the words because you got the jersey. And the kid's like this like 15-year-old little white boy. And he like crushes the entire thing. And it's absolutely insane. And the entire place goes crazy. And
including me watching the Glastonbury live stream of Dave's performance.
Exactly. And then the boy's mom the next day, they tried to like ask for an interview and she was like, he needs to rest for now. He's had a very big weekend. And I thought that was really sweet. Anyway, that's another good English soccer thing. There's actually, I could name way too many good things about soccer in England.
Be careful.
Patty's going to come in and stab you. Anyway. People on Instagram saying that the plague, that right now the quarantine it's not and like, the pandemic is a good thing because it allows you time to be creative. Yeah. Nuts.
It's not that they're saying it's like a good thing, but exactly. It's like, there's a line of positivity that's good and positive, and then there's a line where I'm like, okay, like, we'll just get through it. Like, it's not like, you know, there's a level, and I don't know what exactly the line is for me, but a couple people cross it, and I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up. Anyway, whatever. I don't know, since when do I say dude? My cousin.
Please. Bruv.
Bruv. Yeah. I liked King Henry's nightmares. They were funny. The best look of the episode... Ellen, I hope you have the same one as me.
What's yours?
Mine's the mask. Henry, like, literally wears a face mask. He pulls a white cloth over his face and wears it like a face mask.
I have a different one.
I have a secondary one, so I hope it's the same.
His little ye olde boxer shorts.
Yes! With the, like, bedazzled cross in them.
He's, like, sleeping. And he gets up and he's wearing, like, you know how, like, normally he wears, like, the big kind of, like, bloomery shorts?
Yeah.
Maddie? Nod your head, yes. Anyway, and then he's wearing, like, a tiny version of that, and it's, like, black, and it's got this, like, big bedazzled cross on it, and it's literally just, like, a black diaper.
It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
It's so funny. There were a couple other, like, fun, ostentatious outfits, but nothing compares to the boxers or the face mask.
I did, like... Anne's crown and her outfit at the beginning, but I think she wore it in a previous episode, so the boxers.
Yeah. It was, I think it was the same as the last episode's ending where she had that like headpiece and like the pretty green dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing else happens in this episode. Someone yells at Henry for being, they're like, go back to your wife.
Yeah.
And then he has like this weird, he has a bit of a moment of like, I need to be like a better to God. Like he prays with Catherine and he has like definitely has some like anxiety, which I think is a thing that Henry VIII did deal with. He had a lot of like weird shit going on mentally.
He cries in the church. Anxiety and he's scary, but he's like holding Catherine's hand in the church. And like, you know, when you like don't blink and you keep your eyes open for too long, how you like make your eyes go wider because you're like trying not to blink. He does that.
That's Jonathan Rhys-Meyers like resting face, but I fully agree. He does do that.
Yeah, that's but that's what Jonathan Rhys Meyers when he looks crazy. It's like when you've been looking at something too long and you kind of go like,
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Maddie, do you want to tell us anything about what's in the Daily Mail? Any fun Daily Mail?
Your before segment? We do that, Jonathan Rhys Meyers Briggs test. Ellen, did you find him sexy at all in this episode?
No.
Yeah, same. Okay.
I did like his apparitions of him looking kind of plague-like in the glass, but that was just fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It wasn't sexy.
It was not sexy. No.
I know Ellen has a bit of a thing for guys who look like they're on their deathbed, but...
No.
No, okay, good.
Alas, he was not on his deathbed. Oh, can I just say another thing? Love when Chris Martin's wife goes in to visit his corpse and he's on that bloody bed and then they're like, we're going to have to burn all of the sheets. And then she rubs her face on him.
Yeah. And then guess
what? Why was there so much blood?
Because to cure him, they try bloodletting out of his back. They like
bleed.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, his back.
Yeah. They're like, if you like bleed his back, he might get better. And I'm like, I'm glad this man founded all of Oxford's colleges. Anyway. She also dies. His wife dies really quickly after him. Okay. Obviously, because she rubbed her face on his dead corpse. So.
And her dead servant's corpse. Like, bury her beside William, Sir William. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. This is like a character we have not seen. We know she exists, but we have no emotional connection. It's like, oh, she's dead.
She is gone.
She's gone. Okay, Maddie, hit us.
All right, Maddie, what's going on in Daily Mail?
Is it time?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this week on the Jonathan Rhys Meyers Daily Mail Spectacular, we are dealing with the incident that is the most important incident in the modern era of Jonathan Rhys Meyers to the Daily Mail.
What?
Okay.
Do we just dive right into the headline?
Yep.
All right. Exclusive. Greek Coca-Cola heir Alki David is arrested with fellow billionaire business partner after landing in St. Kitts on a private jet with actor Jonathan Rhys Meyers and $1.3 million worth of cannabis on board.
Yes!
I knew he had something to do with some Greek Coke guy. Yeah. Okay. Carry on.
All right. Points for the article. David, 50, and Chase Ergen, heir to a satellite fortune, are said to have transported an estimated 5,000 cannabis plants as part of their new business. Next bullet point. They traveled with Irish actor Jonathan Rhys Meyers and his family.
I know his wife was there. His
family was on this flight.
I know his wife was there.
Oh, we'll get to that. They were searched aside by customs officials after landing and searched. Then, of course, in classic Daily Mail style, the first line of the article is just the headline again. And
what are the captions on the pictures? The Daily Mail photo captions are always funny because it's like something, colon, and then like a description of the picture. But sometimes the pictures aren't related to the article at all. So it'd be like, this article would have a picture of like Jonathan Rhys Meyers for a movie premiere. And it'd be like, can't believe it. Picture of Jonathan Rhys Meyers at August Rush premiere.
Okay, so the rest of the photos aren't that big of a deal, except at the very end, there's a headshot of Jonathan Rhys Meyers, and the caption is, their actor pal, Jonathan Rhys Meyers, was also on board the private jet. And right underneath the very important line, Alki David told DailyMail.com, Jonathan Rhys Meyers' mother-in-law and wife were cavity searched.
Fuck.
Mother-in-law?
Oh, that poor woman.
This was posted May 14th, 2019.
Oh, wow.
Very
the good. Same day, May 14th, 2019, hours later, headline, Jonathan Rhys Meyers' wife, Mara Lane, shares awkwardly timed bikini video as she hits the beach after arriving in St. Kitts on a private jet containing $1.3 million worth of cannabis. And this is the photo they've used. It's her on the beach and a cropped photo of the worst photo I've ever seen of Jonathan Rhys Meyers in my entire life.
Oh my God.
If I was going to describe it, it'd be
absolutely
like
absolutely psychotic.
You know the like celery from VeggieTales?
No.
Or like I didn't watch VeggieTales, but like
spot
one
on.
Of the like skinny ones mixed with like Sid the Sloth from Ice Age, mixed with like like something curly.
And then it's all in a little, when you use House Party and you're looking at it on your computer screen and it's in a little circle.
Yeah, this little bubble of hell. Oh my god, it's horrible.
Oh. All right.
Can I quickly say, I did not know that St. Kitts was short for St. Christopher Nevis. I always just thought it was St. Kitts and Nevis. And you said St. Christopher there, and then I googled it. And it's like the only other things I've ever heard of, which I know Kit is short for Christopher, but in my head it's only Kit Harington from Game of Thrones and Kit Marlowe from writing poetry. So I just, I hadn't heard it.
For writing poetry fame.
Anyway, so that's fascinating to know. St. Christopher and Nevis.
The next time Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is mentioned in the Daily Mail, July 27, 2019, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is pictured for the first time since, quote, arriving in St. Kitts on a private jet containing $1.3 million worth of cannabis, end quote, as he flies out of L.A.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. You know what? Flying
and don't
stressful.
Worry, he also looks awful.
He has he's a great example of people who shouldn't have the Peaky Blinders haircut.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy looks good with that shaved on the sides, long on the top hair. There's a handful of people who look like they can do it without looking like an alt-right freak. And then some people do it and it's just a big no. It's not that they look alt-right. It's not that they look like anything. It just looks bad. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers just looks really, really bad.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers would be great Peaky Blinders character.
Peaky Blinders. Hello.
All right, Ellen.
He's the fucking Peaky Blinders.
The captions on these photos pay off.
Okay.
First one. Jetting off, : Jonathan Rhys-Meyers has been pictured for the first time since traveling on a plane to St. Kitts with $1.3 million worth of cannabis as he jetted out of LA on Friday. Next photo. Bags, : The Irish actor, 42, wore a suit jacket over a white t-shirt and was laden with bags as he caught a flight out of LAX airport. Next photo. It's a picture of his wife from the ill-timed video. Don't mind me, : Mara Lane appeared to forget the controversy surrounding her arrival in St. Kitts and Nevis with Greek Coca-Cola heir Alki David and May. Next photo. Good times, : Lane, who was reportedly cavity searched during the incident after her arrival on the island, appeared to be nonplussed as she soaked up the tropical heat.
Referring to it as every time as the plane containing $1.3 million worth of cocaine is the same energy as me and my coworkers always referring to the Panago spicy pierogi pizza. There's this thing, I'll explain it. There's this thing in the summer, one of the people on my team at work kept getting an ad on Instagram for the Panago spicy pierogi pizza. And we were trying to see if we could all get our phones to show us that ad by always speaking out the full name very clearly, very close to our cell phones. And so you'd say Panago spicy pierogi pizza, and you'd hold the phone right beside your face.
All right, we got one more article.
Okay.
The headline, very normal. It's from January 4th, 2020. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers opts for an edgy ensemble with a tough leather jacket and army boots as he enjoys a cigarette in Beverly Hills. Fine. Normal. It's just a photo of him smoking a cigarette in Beverly Hills in a leather jacket.
Exclusive.
I feel like he'd vape, but we know he vapes.
Hold on. Oh yeah, we know he vapes. First line in the article. He famously flew to St. Kitts on a plane carrying $1.3 million worth of cannabis last year.
Stop.
That's the whole sentence.
He opens up his medical cabinet for Charles Brandon and the other dude, and he's like, look at my $1.3 million worth of cannabis.
Oh, that's it. That's all for the second and probably final installment of the Jonathan Rhys-Meyers Daily Mail Spectacular until he does something insane again.
I hope that one day in the Belfast airport I run into him. I feel like once I feel like every time, the past few times I've been at the Belfast Airport, like the next day, some like super cool Game of Thrones or someone else actor was photographed right there. And it's like, okay, next time I have to go. And for some reason, Belfast is the place he's going to instead of Dublin. I wait a day. I miss Cillian Murphy, but I meet Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. The only two famous Irish people who would probably fly into Dublin because they're both from Cork.
This Jonathan Rhys-Meyers having that haircut, he's also the type of man who, like David Beckham, like really leaned into the like Peaky Blinders moment that like men's fashion is having, and wears like a lot of like Henleys and vests and like trousers and like hats.
And it's like,
Caps.
It's like, it's not that that's like always bad, but it's a bit like, it's like Cillian Murphy looks hot with the Peaky Blinders haircut because Cillian Murphy's a handsome man. Some people can wear a version of it and it's fine, but like we don't all need Zeno to Chara. Do it. Does Zdeno Chara have the Peaky Blinders haircut?
What? No, they all dressed up as Peaky Blinders for Halloween one year, though.
So did the Canucks. My dad, okay, this is a joke for literally maybe like three people, but I know one of them at least listens to this podcast, so that's fine. The Swedish Canucks dressed up as the Peaky Blinders for Halloween. And I was showing it to my dad because he is a big Canucks fan and now he's a big Peaky Blinders fan. And I was like pointing out who's who, and I said, I think this guy is Tom Hardy's character, but he doesn't show up this season. And my dad said, yeah, neither did Oscar Fantenberg, who was dressed up as Tom Hardy. Hey. It's a very funny joke for anyone who knows who Tom Hardy and Peaky Blinders is and who Oscar Fantenberg is, which is asking a lot.
What was I going to say? No, Cillian Murphy looking good with Peaky Blinders haircut. That's because Cillian Murphy is so hot that even Grunny and I, we were watching 28 Days Later, we were like, he's so hot. And he has like the weird half-shaved head.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But like, yeah, it's like, and it's like, it's fine. Like, it's like some people lean into the whole like, you know, three-piece suit, pocket watch shit a little too much. But like, you know, whatever. There are worse. Some people look fine with that sort of style. But like Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, it's like, just no, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it.
I am looking away.
I'm looking away.
I have no hair.
But yeah, I feel like the combination of Peaky Blinders being big and Conor McGregor existing created this like culture of like this like classiness mixed with like violence and aggression that's just like very, very concerning in some people. And like today I was watching a video about how sports are good because I miss sports. And it was like, there was the clip of Conor McGregor saying, like, first of all, I just want to apologize to absolutely no one, like, go fuck yourself or whatever. And it's like, that's like, I don't like Conor McGregor. I don't think he's like a good guy or whatever, but like, that's legitimately funny to like act like you're going to be a good person and then just say that. It's funny, you know, but it's like, there's a reason why he can do it. And like, I don't want to hear it from like some dude we went to high school with. Like, I don't want that. You're not allowed to have that attitude. Only Conor McGregor is. I keep almost saying Connor McDavid. I'm like, every single time I say that name, I'm like casting myself and trying not to
imagine
say Connor McDavid.
Imagine Connor McDavid having any type of personality. Insane.
The only time he swears is whenever he doesn't get a power play that he wants. He's like, oh, fuck, I thought I got hooked. Oh, fuck, I missed the playoffs again. I don't know why he sounds like that in my head.
Grania. Sports roast him. You got him.
Get his ass.
We've done the best look. We've done the Jonathan Rhys-Meyers Daily Mail spectacular.
How are we doing on predictions?
Well, I said I still predicted that someone's going to get a dress ripped off them, but nobody's had a dress ripped off them yet. But maybe with Anne, that's to come. I predicted a male-on-male romance, which has happened.
Ellen and I haven't fought yet.
We haven't fought yet.
I don't remember what else I said would happen.
Oh, I said there would be a general preference for the word whore. And I think there is. You've been correct. I can imagine Catherine of Aragon going whore.
You've definitely, like, that's been an absolute spot-on prediction. We have not met the Pope cat yet, so I said we wouldn't get an explanation for it. Thus far, we have not got an explanation for it.
Also, we've met the Pope, and he is not a cat.
The Pope's not a cat, sure. So that's not the answer. We followed Cat Pope on Twitter, and hopefully Cat Pope will eventually follow us back and then reach out to us to discuss herself.
I didn't watch the DVD version this week either, so I don't know what was.
Yeah, we got full nipples. We got full nipples. Henry Cavill got some, and but I wonder what they might have cut.
Oh, speaking of Henry Cavill, that's the other funny thing. The women who post on his Instagram that he hadn't posted for a while, and then he finally posted he was like baking, and all these women were like, oh my god, I thought you died.
All these women, it's like the comments are like people trying to be like, what if he notices me and thinks I would like to bake with her? They're like, you know, I also bake, Henry Cavill. It's like, oh guys, like I don't think he's gonna see this. And then the other kind of comment on Henry Cavill's Instagram is like, look at my nudes, Henry Cavill. And I'm like, yeah, respect that. It's like these Can women I? Being like, whoa, check out the link in my bio.
Can I?
But they're all Russian spam bots.
Yeah, they're all Russian bots trying to hook Henry Cavill. What?
I'm gonna expose you. I was listening to Granny's making a playlist on Spotify of one song per day for her isolation time. And on the playlist is the song from The Witcher. What's it called?
Yeah, toss a coin to your Witcher.
Yeah, it's on the freaking playlist. And I was listening to it when I was at work like an idiot.
You're not even at work. Every day.
I'm at home at work. I'm mentally at work.
You should be listening to Work From Home by Fifth Harmony, because I know you guys love that song so much.
You know what?
Love that song.
Having toss a coin to your Witcher is not as bad as the three of us have a playlist called Songs That Make Us Go Wild. We collectively vote if two out of three of us agree a song makes us go wild, it goes in the playlist. For a long time, the song Surf Surf Crazy from Team Beach Movie was on the playlist, and Granny and I would go to the gym together, and
the best part about this as well is that, like, our trainer we go to the gym where everyone thinks we're dating, because the only other people who go as, like, duos are, like, either, like, well, they're just couples.
Married couples, or they're dating.
Yeah, and so Maddie and I would go, and we'd play Surf Surf Crazy on...
We wouldn't.
True. Our trainer would.
Yeah, we'd put the playlist on sometimes. Our trainer would, like, put the playlist on. But the issue is, during the week when we weren't there, other trainers would just put on the last played thing, and they'd put on our playlist Songs That Make Us Go Wild. And there's, like, a lot of good workout songs on there, but mostly, there's also stuff like Three Lions.
Three Lions. We briefly had You'll Never Walk Alone, the Liverpool song. Not the Marcus Mumford cover, thank God. We had Ice Age, like Chapman. The Danish band that is not good to work out to. We had a very slow Tracy Chapman song. Surf Surf Crazy from Team Beach Party. Like, there's a lot of music on there that, like, no one should be subjected to.
You're, like, lifting a weight, listening to I Try by Macy Gray.
Is that on the playlist?
Yeah.
I know how it goes. I know how it goes.
Well, sorry, it makes me and Ellen go wild.
We did a big audit of the playlist recently, and Granny's like, we can take this one off to I Try, and Maddie and I were like, no.
No.
Okay, on New Year's, explanation...
The three of us hung out, and Ellen was too drunk, and instead of adding songs to the queue, she accidentally added them to the playlist. So we were like, mid-January, like, why is Who Let the Dogs Out on this playlist?
The reason for the Witcher song is it's the song that I like listened to the most that day. And that day, I'm stuck in isolation with my entire family, and my brother played it a lot. And so it's on the playlist. The playlist also has some other weird songs. Like, it's not the weirdest song on it. You know what? It's a banger.
Grania, what's your opinion of the weirdest song on it?
Can I just open it up and see? I don't remember.
I listened to that Jewel song about 15 times today. Very good.
Right? It's like, I'd never heard it beyond the chorus, but now I know it really well.
Why did it become weirdest so relevant?
Song, me and my family played Sporkle together, and then it was one of the songs. It was like one of the like clips in the music, in a music thing, and me and my brother were like, what is that? What is that? What is that? And it turns out we didn't actually know the song. It was just like vaguely familiar. Okay, yeah, Ellen, I'm sorry. You'll Never Walk Alone by Marcus Mumford, which I've only heard one verse of and I hate already, is definitely weirder than the Witcher song.
I don't know. I'm with Ellen.
I'm not saying it's like music that like I think goes well together or like is good. It's just the song I listened to the most that day. Like one of them is Mr. Knightley is Destroyed from the Emma soundtrack.
Hell yeah.
The score.
It goes, sorry, it goes Mr. Knightley is Destroyed into a Kink song, into X Gon Give It to Ya, into Toss a Coin to Your Witcher, into New Order. Like,
yeah, X
Gon
Give It to Ya is a crazy song on that one.
I'm not pretending this is like a smooth, expected play. It's just the song that day I was like, you know what? This is the song that is getting me through today.
And you know what? X is going to give it to you.
X is going to give it to you, and Toss a Coin to Your Witcher obviously got me through that whatever day that was, Thursday or something. I don't know.
I think that's so fun, though. I wish I'd done a song per day.
You can do it retroactively. Just remember. I started this like 5 days in.
But I listened to like the same three songs. I can't have like...
Garden song, Phoebe Bridgers.
For 3 days, I listened to the same Johnny Flynn album all day.
Yeah, I mean, he's good.
I tried to listen to a disco playlist, and I'm like, no, this is too chaotic.
I was listening to some like 70s rock, and it's like, if I was alive in the 70s and 80s, I would have gone from full disco fan in the 70s to like full like punk in the 80s, because all rock through that era is so bad. It's so bad. Oh my god. Pour Some Sugar on Me is like the great only song. Good like arena rock
song.
Put
it on the playlist.
Yeah, that song makes me go wild. Put that on the playlist.
Okay, I'll put it on
it's
the
better
playlist.
Than like fucking half of the songs on my playlist. Half of the songs on the playlist are songs I hated, and these two love so much that now they have like sentimental value to me, because I'm like, oh, it reminds me of my friends, even though like it's a bad song.
I'm so like, glad that fucking All Night
Smooth by Rob
it.
Whatever. Rob.
Rob Thomas.
I don't think Smooth's on the playlist. Santa. It's not.
Smooth is 100% on that playlist.
No, it's on songs Grenya hates.
Okay, yeah, they also made a playlist of songs I hate, but whatever. There's a couple overlapping songs. Like Smooth. Okay, I'm going to click X on Spotify because it's making my screen really dark. Yeah, okay.
Back to my Google search of the color green.
fun hack for whenever you're on video chat with your friends, which I know a lot of you will be doing. Google a color, click on a Google image of the color, and zoom in till it fills your screen, and it gives you like a weird fun color tinge. And it sounds stupid, but try it. It's really fun to suddenly be pink. You guys can back me up. It was fun when I was changing colors yesterday.
Oh, it's very funny.
Yeah.
It's a great bet.
It's just a fun thing to do. It spices up your like FaceTime or whatever. It's fun.
All right, we got anything else, Dad?
No.
Go outside. Don't talk to people. Isolate yourselves.
Well, talk to people.
Yeah. Sorry. Don't talk.
Don't talk about COVID, because then you'll manifest it.
Don't think about it. Take your tonics, take your weird pills. I didn't even know they had pills back then, but take your pills.
Write a letter to your apothecary.
Write a letter to your lover who's in isolation, who you think is dying, Anne Boleyn. Stay safe out there. But keep working away at your divorce.
I hope that next week we have an episode that can be next week. Next time we record, we can have an episode that is not about people being sick, and that we can have another good escapist moment.
Yeah, I would love it if it wasn't
get malaria
all about
instead.
The plague. Stop, he's going to get malaria. He was in that bog for so long.
Oh my god. Oh, that's what I was going to talk about. I've never played Animal Crossing. But
okay,
I have seen. Is there a pole vaulting pole?
Yeah,
in the new Animal Crossing, there is a pole vaulting pole.
Your flimsy pole. It's called a flimsy pole.
I saw a video on Twitter of someone like catching a big fish, and the joke turns out the joke at the end was them catching a really big fish, and that was the joke. But I thought the joke is when they clicked on their little animal, and one of the options was pole vaulting.
No, yeah, you part of it.
You vault over the river to go to the other side of the river.
Little river.
Well, that's exactly what Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unsuccessfully. He's no villager.
Maddie, can you dress up
The villager pulls out his pole, says, "Back at it again at Krispy Kreme," and falls into an alligator pit.
Maddie, can you dress up your little person, your villager, as little Jonathan Rhys-Meyers and recreate that for us, please?
No, I don't have that Animal Crossing yet. I don't have it yet. I'm too busy with Stardew Valley. I got married.
Let's commission Brandon Lloyd to do it. I know he's been on Animal Crossing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Brandon, I know you're listening. Like,
yeah, Brandon, we adore every couple of days when you send us a little screenshot of your little villager in a fun, cute new outfit with a little pose. Very wholesome. We love it.
Did you guys see the raccoon's feet?
It's going to make Ellen buy a Switch.
The what?
One of the little raccoons is like Timmy or Tommy or something. Whenever he sits down, you can see his little feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cute. Okay, I think that's... Oh, sorry?
That's it, yeah.
Something else to say about Timmy or Tommy?
No.
We love raccoons.
It's that raccoon lamp I found last night on anthropology.com.
I want it. It's just like a ceramic raccoon holding a bear light bulb.
Yeah. And it's like $300.
It's going to give Grania chronic migraines, but it's going to bring her so much joy.
Yeah, when I look at lights, I get migraines. I had a concussion a couple years ago that I didn't treat right, and now I can't look at lights very much.
But, yeah, who else had a concussion?
Henry VIII.
Henry VIII.
CTE gang. But... I have a little hedgehog that I got from IKEA. It's like a little white one. And you press it, and then it lights up different colors. And it's a lot more soothing than the raccoon with the bear light bulb. So I'll stick with my little hedgehog. And that's Grania's lighting review.
Okay, wrap it up. Where can you find us?
You can follow me on Twitter at WholeGrania, and you can follow the podcast on Twitter at TwoBelenGirls.
And you can follow me, Ellen, at Lely Blah, and I will add the two Berlin girls into my bio because I keep forgetting to.
Yes, I just did that. I don't think it's driving a lot of traffic, but also I don't care because this podcast is about that. Oh, we did have airmail. Shit.
Oh, shit.
It's really brief. It's not really, I don't think it's actually supposed to be airmail. It's just like someone sent me something that's directly connected to the tutors, so I'll count it. Friend of the pod, Georgia Twist, sent me a direct message on Twitter drawing attention to the fact that they're making a series about Catherine of Aragon, but when she was like younger and hot. And what? She was like, yo, like another Tudor related TV show. And it's like her and she like is falling in love with like, or she's supposed to marry Prince Arthur and then he dies. So then Prince Henry comes onto the screen and, scene. Also screen, I guess, because it's a TV show. And he's like young and redheaded and like vaguely handsome, I think. So very exciting for him. I was like, well, guess we're going to have to watch that. I'm going to treat it as a direct sequel to this show.
I hope it's done in the same television style as the show Rain.
You know what? That's the vibe. It's like a Starz TV show and it's called like The Spanish Princess or something. And I feel like it would be very fun. If we really, really love doing this enough that we want to do another TV series, maybe we'll do The Spanish Princess before my Anglo-Saxon series that I actually do want to watch.
Maddie, you've talked a lot during this episode. Anything you want to plug?
No.
if you ever just give some money to someone nearby who needs it, because everything sucks right now for a lot of people, so that's my plugging everything. Support everyone.
stay safe.
Wear a mask.
Anything else? No,
that's it.
Okay, bye.
Bye.